Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Our guest today is Karn Nash, who is a special education and physical education teacher in the Vital School in Putnam County. Karn, welcome to Local Matters.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
It's good, man.
Been a while since I talked to you.
I know. It has been a while. We'll talk about some of those days. So, Vital, tell us what you do at Vital.
My main gig is, sorry, we got a little too close to the mic there. Main gig, I'm a special education teacher, like you said. You know, we've got a decent size caseload there at Vital. And then on the side, kind of like a la carte type deal, I do some PE for grades 6 through 8.
Okay.
And then this year, kind of on a just seeing how it goes type deal, I'm doing some STEM 1 with Mr. Lance Key over there. And I'm just loving it, and it's a lot to do,
yeah.
But, you know, it's also good to stay busy. It makes your day go by a lot quicker.
Right. Now, Vital, it's pretty much online, right?
Yes, sir. Well, it's set up to be online. I think there's a few misconceptions about it, but if everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, turning in grades, we don't have any issues like that. Attendance showing up, you know, you have to Zoom every once in a while.
Right.
And that's more for our lower grades. We're actually a 3 through 12 school.
Okay.
And then we also have like a homeschool umbrella too that we do a little bit of that. But our all of our high school kids, they have to come in. So, I mean, we're not seeing them on the computer all the time. We have to see them when they come in and take tests. And then obviously like the STEM stuff that I'm doing, we have labs and things like that that we do kind of after, usually from like 2 to 3 is when I do most of those where, our student population goes down. But we also offer that. We like to give them the opportunity to come in and do some hands-on stuff, but we don't require it most of the time unless it's like a test or something like
sure.
that.
Sure.
But yeah.
Well, I was wondering how you would do physical education. How does that work?
Well, my role in the physical education part is I actually go on there, and I'm actually partnered with Miss Kimberly Simino, who's a PE teacher over at Cane Creek.
Okay.
So she does the 3, 4, 5, and I do 6, 7, 8. It's a little bit different for high school. It's more like paper-based stuff and things like that. It's more boring, really. But
because, again, it's online.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But what we do, we get on every morning. We make not every single morning. We do one for the morning time. It's about no longer than 15 minutes. Like, get up, get your blood moving. It's supposed to be the first thing they do every day.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're ready to get on, jump on with their teacher and Zoom and do all that stuff. They watch that video every day. When they log in, they go in and just, you know, they're – there's some things they probably won't be able to do, like if they don't have the equipment, and we just kind of, you know, say, get in there and do the best you can with
sure.
it, and, you know, make sure you watch the video so maybe you find an opportunity to do that at a different time. Maybe you can't do it right now, but at least you're learning the skills and things like that. And most of that's like, we do push-ups and things like that in the morning, but then the afternoon session right after lunch, we'll do something, you know, we'll do basketball or, you know, just to, you know, make sure that they're getting – the same concepts that the other kids are getting that are in the building.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we physically have to get on there and video ourselves. So that was super weird at first. But
had to video yourself playing basketball?
Well, just like dribble,
yeah.
things like that. Yeah.
Right.
But
And they're doing this online at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it, too, is like a lot of the videos I made, you know, I can reuse like the ones that I made last year. And we were building – well, we actually moved a house. But the basement was just like kind of – partially done, so that's just kind of where I was at shooting it, and you know, I think that's kind of where these kids are too. You know, you never know exactly where they are.
Right,
they may be able to get outside. They may, you know, be in an apartment somewhere like that. But we try to make, you know, we'll use brooms and things like that for hockey and stuff. So I mean, we try to you know, make it as accessible as possible for everybody.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, that was one of the things I was thinking about was if you have students who are online or getting an online education, that they might be missing out on some of the physical activity like
yeah.
physical education and things like that. But to know that, you know, they can still get those things and you're there helping them and instructing them and showing them different things, that they're really not missing out on that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we have to hit every standard. And some of it's, you know, it's not as in-depth as it probably would be
yeah.
if you were, you know, it's hard to do team things and, you know, stuff like that. But
right.
we do the best we can, and everybody seems to like it pretty good. And it takes them a little while. We run through a program called Canvas, and it's we got to get all that. It took me a long time. I'm not – to be a Vital teacher, I wasn't super tech savvy at first,
yeah.
so I'm still learning a lot of stuff like that. But once we got everything uploaded, you know, it takes the and we're constantly getting new students coming in, so you got to kind of go back and explain like, okay, so this is how you do your PE, you know,
yeah.
and they're like, oh, we have PE, I thought, you know,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's that's pretty much what we do as far as the PE portion of it anyway. But, yeah, it's like I said, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what we do over there. And
well, I think so, yeah. And I think that kind of – that clears up some things, especially for me. I mean, it does because, you know, you still are encouraging physical activity. You're still encouraging, you know, building motor skills and learning sports and doing all those things that – kids in public school get to do when they come in, and you know, PE was always my favorite subject. So,
same here. Yeah.
So they still get PE.
Yes, sir. And like I said, it's a little different for the there's more like for the high school level. There's more like nutritional based things. You do food logs, and then I don't do that, but I'm just being special, doing the special education. I get to see all the classes, so I see a lot of that content. But yeah, I think it's. I mean, as far as a virtual online PE class, I think. I mean, it's. It's I like doing it. I think the kids enjoy it. You got some slackers every now and then that, you know, don't want to log in and do their stuff. But I mean, it's you're gonna have that when you're in a building too,
right?
Which I'm just lucky to be able to do it because that's where I actually was splitting PE and special education where I came from, up from the middle school as well. So that's kind of the lane that I wanted to stay in. And Mr. Pirtle hooked me up. So.
Well, now tell us about special education at Vital. What does that look like?
Special education at Vital. So we. Like I said, I've got maybe a caseload of 20 or so kiddos, and, you know, we just accommodate them as best we can over a virtual setting. So there's an individualized education program, you know, there'll be things in the classroom that maybe won't translate over, like maybe this kiddo has an accommodation where he needs to sit in the front of the classroom. Well, you know, if you're at home most of the time, you know, that, you know, is not going to translate to what we're doing.
Right.
And so I just got to match up their IEPs and make sure it's, you know, that the state comes in and looks at it, it's, you know, matches up to what we're actually able to provide, you know. And we, I think we do a pretty good job of making sure that these kids are getting their reading and their math interventions when they need it. And we provide those through an online platform as well, which, I mean, it's the same one it's the same one that most students are getting in the building as well, but they just have a little more hands-on, I think. Mm-hmm. But as far as my high school kiddos, you know, I'm pretty much seeing them every day. They're coming in and if they have a small group accommodation for tests or something like that, they'll come in and take their tests with me. And, I'm able to, you know, do prompting on tests and things like that. So that's the gist of it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. We try to make it look as much like the classroom, or we give them as much support. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. And, you know,
right.
And then the same way, not just with the special education kiddos, you know, sometimes the Vital program just isn't for, you know, I don't know that I could have, you know, had the accountability as a young man to log on and do that stuff. So, I mean, I get it, but, and it's the same way for all these students. So
do you think your experience at Upperman Middle School working with special education when you came to Vital and you were able to continue that, obviously I'm sure it was different, but you still understand how to address the student and what the student needs are.
Yes, absolutely. My time at Upperman, I loved working at Upperman too. I never thought I would leave there. I mean, that was pretty much as far as getting a job where I was, you know, that was my dream job. But Mr. Pirtle, he persuaded me to come over when he took the job over here. And it's been a great opportunity. Like I said, I'm able to get my hands into different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the special education angle, what I was doing over there, I had some awesome teachers over there. Main one that pretty much taught me everything I know, Miss Tammy Hunter there. I don't know if you know her, but she's been teaching for, I don't know if she'd want me to tell you how many years, but she was like my school mom over there. And if it wouldn't have been for her, you know, I don't know that I'd still be able to do what I'm doing right now. So
yeah,
I mean, it was invaluable. So
and you grew up in the traditional education setting, you began teaching in the traditional education setting, and now you're at the Vital School. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to explain and tell the difference in Vital and the traditional educational setting, because there's still some that don't still understand what Vital is, or that that can be an opportunity for their student in Putnam County. And so if somebody says, well, you know, tell me about Vital, what is it? What's the first thing that you tell them?
I mean, it's if you come to Vital, you want it to be, if everything's working perfect, you want it to be as much virtual setting as possible. Now, we do offer, we have a full staff. We've got a high school English, math, mm-hmm. science, and, you know, everybody's in the building. So when you come in, you know, we do require some to come in, and, you know, you can get some instruction if you need it. But it's, you know, it's it's probably more geared towards students that are, you know, do have that responsibility. Now, we can help you, you know, get, you know, taught up and coached up on that too. But, you know, it works out a whole lot better with our kiddos that come in with some personal accountability, which is, you know, what we want to teach them anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, if everything's going good, you know, you do some, you know, you'll zoom in with your teachers every once in a while if it's a required thing, you know, and that's counted just like, you know, you can be truant on the truancy list and vital just like you can be. You
really?
Know, in a, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reasons when it doesn't work out most of the time is when it's something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do the, you know, that's last resort, you know, and we will, you know, we'll go visit them if we need to and like, hey, what's going on? And we'll offer them, you know, we provide devices and things like that too. So, I mean, you can use your own if they're compatible and you have to have high speed internet and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, you would think that you would need.
And the interaction with other students, that's there too.
It can be. Yes, sir. So our lower level, so our, I keep saying lower levels, we are our third grade through our eighth grade.
Right.
They are not typically required to come in. They Zoom every day with their teachers, and we got an awesome staff. I know Mr. Bo DeBoer, he's our fifth and sixth grade teacher this year, and he was the middle school teacher of, like, the whole county.
Yeah, we've had him on. He's he's very impressive.
Oh well, yeah, you probably got a lot more out of him then. But he's there, and then we got you know, we've got great staff over there too, but they're Zooming every single day, and they're in breakout rooms if they need to be in, and all the kiddos can see each other on the screen and talk, you know, and there's like ways to like raise your hand on there and things like that. And I don't do as much of the Zoom stuff. I'll do some of my special education meetings over Zoom if I have to, if we've got, you know, some health issue or something like that. We try to, if that's working, you know, we have a lab over there. Those guys are at Prescott. I don't know if I mentioned that. We've got a wing over there. Hopefully we can all get in the same building, which, you know, that helps.
Sure.
But right now we're, you know, we're kind of split up. But then once we get to the ninth through 12th grade level, they have to come in to take tests. They can't because there's a code, you know, just for accountability. And if we do have them, you know, if they start dropping, you know, you start seeing a few zeros, and we'll, you know, we'll do attendance contracts, things like that to bring them in to, you know, hopefully get them back on the right track, and then they can, you know, work towards like, okay, maybe I'll only come in for 2 days this week and things like that.
Okay. All right. We'll stop right there. We're going to come back and revisit that. We're going to take a quick break. Right. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, this is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we're talking with Karn Nash, who is a special education and physical education teacher in the Vital School in Putnam County. And, you know, Karn, I can understand the physical education aspect because I pretty much watched you grow up with a basketball in your hand at Upperman and, you know, the career that you had. Just tell us a little bit about your background and you know, what it was like playing basketball for Upperman. But, you know, did you go to you know, elementary school in Baxter and Upperman Middle? And, I mean, did you come up through the Upperman, you know, stair steps of education?
I did. Actually, we moved here when I was six, so I think I started like midway through first grade or so.
Yeah.
At the primary school, and I want to say it was like K through eight or something like that, or K through seven. You know, that was back before they had all the – I didn't attend the UMS. You know, I taught there, but I didn't actually go there. So, yeah. They ended up building the high school, I think, and yeah. So I went through Baxter Primary, I went to Cornerstone, then I went to Upperman High School. Yeah, so
yeah,
pretty much born and raised in Baxter. So
now, where did your love for basketball come?
My dad pretty much made me play. I never loved it when I was a like little kid, and then, you know, once you start getting a little better and things like that,
and you start growing.
Well, that helps too. Well, I was super uncoordinated, and I mean, I was awful when I was younger, and that's why I didn't like it, you know. And you know, if he wouldn't have kept at me, make him, you know, all that. And then, you know, the coach is always going to be like, hey, you're tall, come play basketball, you know. And then, like I said, but once you start getting a little bit better, and that's like with anything, you know, you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
I coached a little bit when I was at Upperman Middle. Like, I know those boys are on a big run now.
Yeah.
For Upperman, and I think I want to say I had probably 80% of them in fifth and sixth grade. So
right.
Doesn't surprise me they're doing so well. That was the easiest coaching job I ever had. You just pretty much rolled the ball out there to them. So not surprising.
Well, now you had some success when you were at Upperman. How far did you guys get in the postseason?
I want to say we went to the sub-state game.
Yeah.
We went, what was that team we played? It's in Chattanooga. I think Brainerd, maybe.
Brainerd, it was. Yeah.
I think we had a pretty close game, too. That's been, I was just trying to think. I think that was 15 years ago. So
has it been that? No, it's not been that long.
I think I graduated in 2009.
Are you serious?
My math is horrible, but I think that's close anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking like this is just like 3 or 4 years ago.
It seems like it sometimes. But
it's
15 years.
Yeah, and now, you know, Upperman basketball made it to the semifinals this year. We saw them, you know, beat Hume Fog and then run into a good Fulton team down in Murfreesboro. Were you able to go down to the games?
No, and I hadn't followed them as much as I've actually got – couple kiddos of my own now.
Okay.
We started T-ball and all that. Not yet. And once I actually moved over to Vital, I think I coached one more year down there, and it took up so much of my time. I just kind of took a little break from it, and I hadn't really – I shouldn't be following them because, those are great kids, and, you know, I loved coaching them. You know, we had a lot of success down there with them. And,
yeah.
But like I said, not I can't take too much credit for that. Like, they were pretty good when I got them, so
– Well, now, did you always want to teach and coach? I mean, is that what you always wanted to do growing up?
I kind of got into it. I actually was like a business major for my first 2 years, and my dad just kind of was like, what are you going to do in business? I don't know. I guess be a businessman. He was like, well, what does that mean? You know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
He said, you know, at least get out of here with – I went to Bryan College. I got a basketball
scholarship.
Yeah, and that's a great school too. But anyway, he was just like, you know – once you come out of here with something that you need a degree for, you know, you can, if you want to start your own business, you don't necessarily need a business degree, you know, if you want to be a teacher or something like that. So that's kind of how I got into it. I started taking the classes and it was, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, this is something I can see myself doing, you know, and it's been around 9-10 years I've been doing it. And it's, you know, I mean, you get your headaches like any other job, but it's,
right.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's, could beat digging ditches outside when it's 100 degrees. I know that.
Well, you brought up a good point. Bryan College, and it seems like Upperman has had like a pipeline of players going to Bryan College. Smaller school where's it located?
It's in Dayton, Tennessee.
Dayton, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Yes. Not far from Tennessee Wesleyan, down in that area.
Yeah, pretty close.
Getting toward Chattanooga. So what was that like? I mean, you know, it was still a small school. Mm-hmm. You came from Upperman, so I would think it was probably pretty conducive to what you were used to.
Yeah, it was very high school, kind of like a high school going, because, I mean, I lived in the dorms, and I can't remember what the enrollment was, but it couldn't have been too much more than 800 or 1,000.
Yeah.
At that time, anyway, and it could be a lot bigger. But, you know, it was just a great opportunity because it was astronomically priced being a private school back then. And if it wouldn't have been for being able to play basketball, you know, there's no way I would have been able to go. And not that I was a, you know, crazy wild child or anything, but they also keep you pretty straight down there too. And, you know, I think I owe a lot to, you know, just graduating period to being able to go where I had that smaller environment and they're like, hey, quit doing that, you know. And
yeah.
So.
You know, somebody who's played basketball at the high school level and you played at a higher level, you see these players today and they immediately think, you know, they got to go Big D1. They got to go, you know, Power 5 conference. They got to do this. They got to do that. But you had a great experience. You got a college degree. You were able to play some basketball and you were able to do it in an environment that may not have been, you know, a Power 5 conference, but was still – an opportunity for you to continue your basketball career and get an education at the same time.
Yeah. I think the NBA is really big in college basketball now with the NIL. And, you know, I'm not saying don't strive for something like that, but it's, you know, just as important to go and, you know, figure out what you want to do when you get in college and get a degree, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the NIL stuff necessarily because I feel like getting – I mean, if I was some – like I said, if I was some – awesome basketball player that was, you know, they were making tons of money off me. Maybe
if they were selling Karn Nash jerseys at, you know, $100 a pop or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe I'd feel different that way. But I feel like if you're getting an education to go there, I mean, that's kind of like you're getting paid, right? But you know, yeah, it's you can still have a great time if you go to those smaller schools. I mean, you're still getting, if you want to play basketball or baseball or whatever it is, you know, they have those smaller programs, and you know, you just, you know, that may be the only person. Like, you know, I didn't have, you know, any D1 offers, so it's not like I had a choice, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience. It's it's actually NAIA, so there's a couple divisions to that, but it was,
right.
And it's, I mean, there's some great competition still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a lot of D1 transfers that come in, just doesn't work out for them or for whatever reason. There was some from Tech, I think, when I played, that transferred down to a few of them, and you know, you get to play against, you know, that high level competition, and you play some. We played Tech 1 year, and we got thumped pretty bad, but I mean, it was cool to come back home
and play in the Eblen Center.
So, I mean, it's definitely a cool experience either way. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot cooler if you're, you know, starting five for Kentucky or somebody, but yeah, nothing wrong with Bryan College either.
Now, you mentioned a couple of kiddos. Tell us about your family.
I've been married to my wife, Megan, for, I don't know, I should know that.
You better know that.
Yeah, 8 or 9 years, getting closer anyway. Maybe 7, 8, or 9. And I've got two kids, so yeah, I'd say about 8 years. And I've got a daughter that's about to turn 7. She's real big into gymnastics and stuff, which I have no idea about.
Right.
Seems like they all literally do the exact same thing, but their scores are different. So I don't know what it's very confusing.
Yeah.
But she's likes it a lot. I don't know how long she'll be able to stay in that, because you know, I'm 6'5", and her mom's probably 5'9". So you don't typically see too many gigantic, you know, gymnasts, but – And then my son just started T-ball this year, and
nice.
He just turned 5, and he's about like I was when I started out in sports. So those coaches have their work cut out for him for sure.
Yeah.
He's a mess, but he's trying. He has a hard time listening like his dad sometimes. So
awesome. We're gonna visit more with Karn Nash in just a little bit. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. Well, this is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we're talking to Karn Nash, who's a special education, physical education in the Vital School in Putnam County. And, Karn, I know that Vital just received a $5,000 grant, and it's going to go toward a new hydroponics vertical farming system. Wow, that sounds pretty impressive. What does that mean, a hydroponics vertical farming system? What exactly is that?
Yeah, so that's a portion of that's the biggest portion of the money. So Mr. Pirtle came to me, and you know, he's like, hey, you know, I think there's a good opportunity for you to, you know, jump in and teach, you know, one of these STEM classes. If you do that, there's an opportunity through TVA to write a grant. And I, you know, like I always kind of do, I just said, okay, yeah, sure. And then as soon as he left, I was like, I mean, we're out of grant. What am I? I don't know what I'm doing here. So I got on there and I kind of started poking around on it, and there, you know, you could ride it for a bunch of different things, but in our STEM lab, it's pretty awesomely equipped for such a small student body that we have.
Yeah,
and we've got laser cutters and 3D printers, and we got all kinds of plotters, shirt presses. We've got the kids down there doing all kinds of stuff. So I was trying to think of something like, you know, what can I get us, or you know, possibly try to write this thing. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not, because you know, I'm not a grant writer, but. So I was like, yeah, well, you know, the STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You know, all that encompasses in. So we got to find something that matches with the standards. So I went more like the science route, which is actually how I'm able to teach the class. I have a biology endorsement. So if you have, you know, that which goes under the S, I guess.
Yeah.
So then you had to take a class over the summer. But anyway, you know, we didn't have anything like that. So I wanted to – my thinking anyway was – hopefully I can figure out something to do with these kids where they can actually get their hands in some dirt, or possibly not some dirt, with the hydroponic spot.
Right.
And also we have a lot of kids that, you know, live in, you know, on like apartments and things like that.
Yeah.
Don't have, you know, a place if they wanted to grow a garden, you know, to make, you know, to grow something to, you know, so we can actually see what you're getting and eating, you know, they couldn't do it. So that's kind of how I wrote it up. And I was really lucky to have help. My little brother, Alan, he works in Tennessee Tech in the grant department, so he helped me with the budget and Excel and all that, and which I, you know, really needed help with. And then I typed up kind of the blurb of what I wanted to do, and luckily I was able to give it to our Mr. Matt Brown, one of our English teachers, and he marked it all up and made it readable. So
made it pretty for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what we're trying to do, or what the money is allocated for, is a big hydroponic vertical system, like you said, which is it's got like a reservoir in the bottom of it and three vertical towers. It's probably, I don't know, it's 7 foot tall or something. And there's three vertical towers that it constantly cycles water through.
Okay.
It's called a Zip Grow. It was a Canadian system, actually. So so I shipped it down. It was a little bit banged up, but I had a student help me put it together. But it just constantly cycles water through it. And right now, the TVA actually came. They had sent a representative on Thursday to, like, give us a big check and do a photo op and all that, which was cool. And I had one of the students talk about it. And, you know, that was a good opportunity for him. Hopefully he can grow up and be able to do interviews and things like that better than his teacher. But we did that, and we actually sprouted some seeds because there's nothing out now, you know. I planned on having, like, going to Lowe's and getting some stuff and, you know, where it's actually bigger and looks better. And what we had sprouted over the last month or so, you know, the root systems on them just weren't according to the manual, the root systems weren't big enough to really put in there. But, you know, we needed something in there for the picture. So we did all that. We have fall break. So we've been off a week, and, you know, it's just been sitting there growing. And we got back, and those things are five times the size that they were. I mean, I was, you know, pretty impressed at one, that they lived at all, and, you know, two, how big they've gotten.
Right.
So we've got lettuce in it right now.
Okay.
And, parsley and basil, and I don't know which one's which on that one, actually, because I'm we usually just use spices from up in the cupboard, but yeah, I'm not even sure what's what yet. But
so now you is there dirt in the tubes, or is it just the seeds? I mean, what do you plant the seeds with? What do the seeds go into?
The seeds go into like a peat moss like pellet.
Okay.
When you start them, so when they start going, and then you actually, that's why it's called a Zip Grow. There's it's almost like, it's like really loose steel wool that you put it into, and you zip it around them. And then when you put it up into the system, it just keeps it from falling down. So they're kind of just, you know, I think I've got four. And you could put, I want to say it says it'll grow 20 heads of lettuce in like 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and like I said, that was all I could get to sprout. So I had like four heads of lettuce and one, five in the middle. And then we've got two parsley and two basil right now.
Okay.
We plan on, I'm probably just going to tear them out and we're going to start over, because I actually had did that part. I had to do that kind of without the kids because they weren't in that day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just to have them have the experience, just kind of back to what we're trying to do. We got grant money for raised farm beds, like the big, like steel raised farm beds as well. Because we're going to try to grow some inside with the hydroponics machines, and we're going to grow some outside to, you know, compare differences. And then I just kind of researched on Google, like how to make, you know, own personal hydroponics, like smaller scale, because that's what, you know, that's the engineering part that we're going to try to do with the kids.
Right.
And I pretty much got everything I could think of that they could possibly come up with, but we've got a little bit of money left over. If they come up with something off the wall researching that, you know, it's different, you know, we've got a little more money that we can, you know, pick up the supplies they need.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the end of it, like I said, you know, I don't know everything about hydroponics yet, you know, but hopefully by the end of it, they will be able to have an idea of how to, you know, build one on their own and bring it home. Like I said, if they live in an apartment or just somewhere where they don't have access to, you know, soil to grow stuff in. And just the benefits of it, too. I want to say a head of lettuce, like if you grow it outside, they said it takes like 50 gallons to get it to like maximum what you want.
Really?
And
50 gallons of water.
Yeah. And you can use like one or two for it. If you know, you're basically constantly recycling the same water in a hydroponic system. You know, you got to throw nutrients in there. I think it's the Zip Grow that we have. It's every 2 weeks. And it kind of, you know, got to check the pH of the water and all that. And that stuff I'm still a little bit, you know, novice at for sure. But luckily the kids are too. It's also really cool because, you know, even though we're a pretty rural place, a lot of these kids have never done anything like this.
Right.
Like not even with the garden or anything like that, which I was really surprised about. So that's another cool thing too, to get them. You know, when you're growing something, it's not like, you know, if you don't water it or, you know, something like, you know, all that, which – hopefully will be taken care of on its own with the hydroponic system. But, you know, if you don't make sure the nutrients are where they're going to be, you know, you can wilt and die, and you can see the consequences of that, or the, you know, the benefits too. So
it's, yeah,
I think that's a good lesson for them anyway. Plus they get to see their food getting grown. So,
well, that is cool. And do you have anything else from a STEM perspective, any other kind of grants that you're looking at, or some other things that you can, you know, expand on that, because to me, this is amazing that in the Vital program, you know, you're showing them hydroponics, you're showing them how to grow things. I mean, that's just, I mean, to me, that's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. So I was just wondering, if is there anything else, you know, coming down the pike that you know, you might be able to add to it, or something else that you're looking at?
Right now, we've got our hands pretty full with what we've got. We actually, at the end of May, we won a competition, a statewide competition that would have been maybe quarter two, around in there, called Kidwind, where we actually created a like a 4x4-ish windmill.
Right.
That, you know, it, and we ended up winning for the most volts, and we won best design, and we won like three things, and one of our students won like best speaker, like walking around. So we're actually flying out, and we beat some pretty big schools. Like, we were up against like Brentwood, and there was another, I think Riverdale was there.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's a kind of a hobby-ish thing. You know, not every single school's in it. Gordonsville had a bunch of people in it. But we ended up winning that. We didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, so it kind of caught us off guard that we did so well.
I remember you guys came in front of the school board.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, and it's just good exposure for the kids. I got to do that. But we're also, at the end of May, we qualified for nationals, and we're all flying out to Minneapolis and going to compete. And it's like 5 or 6 days of, you know, doing the stuff. So we've got hotel rooms booked and flights and all that. So that's going to be interesting. But
now, how many students will be going with you on that?
I think we've got 7 that are going on that one.
And so what will the competition be like? I mean, what is it that you have to create, or what are you going to be judged on?
Just same things. But they put it in like a wind tunnel that's got like four. It looks like box fans, but they're like souped up.
Yeah.
And it's pulling air. So you got to kind of design the wings and make sure the blades and make sure that they're, you know, spinning right. And it's got a gen. They give you a generator, so you have to use their generator. But we won the one up there because we were the only ones that changed the gear ratio on it. We put like 2 or 3 gears on ours, where everybody else just had the one. And that ended up, I think we won by pretty, you know, substantial amount as far as how much energy. And then we actually had a 3D printed. It did not do very good, but it was pretty. That's what we won best design on that one, I think. So I think it'll be – I don't know they're doing a best design, but they're doing like best functionality, and then whoever produces the most power with it.
Okay.
And then they've got some like solar stuff too. Like, that's just one section of kind of what they do up there. So.
Yeah. Man, it sounds like you enjoy your job.
I do. I mean, especially the STEM stuff. I mean, it's all, you know, there's days that are, you know, good days and bad days like anything else. But, yeah, just getting into this. And like you said, it's wild how much stuff these kids are getting exposed to now, you know, with drones and, you know, 3D printing, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, it's cool. We've got them down there printing or pressing T-shirts in the heat press, you know. And our goal is just to make sure that, you know, well – to hopefully inspire them to be like, hey, this is something I might be able to do, and maybe give them a letter like, hey, I've done that before in class, you know, like when they get out in the workforce, and
right.
Hopefully get out and get them some jobs, because that's what we want, you know, at the end of the day. So,
yeah.
You know, and just to spark something in them to be like, you know, hey, you know, maybe I'm – because I, like, when I, like I said, when I went to college, I was like, well, whatever, I'll be a business
major.
You know, I didn't know, you know. And if you go in with some knowledge about something and a leg up, you know, that's, you know, more power.
And do you see these kids a lot different in the Vital program than your traditional students that you taught at Upperman Middle?
Yeah, I mean, they're different. Some of them are, but you know, it's just a smaller population, you know. Yeah. And it's once they get to know you, a lot of them are real shy and things like that. And but once they, you know, once they get to know you and things like that, I mean, they're just like any other kid, though. But
yeah,
but yeah, it's different because of the, I don't know. I think when we had all the shutdowns and things like that, it kind of hurt the social aspect, and,
sure.
And that's what I like. That's what I like about us. We are a virtual school, but you know, we pretty much make them come in and talk to us. So.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate you being with us here on Local Matters, and sounds like you enjoy your job. Karn Nash, who is an educator at the Vital School in special education and physical education. Man, thanks again for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
And that's all the time we got for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to again thanks Karn Nash for being with us. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.